Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. False prophets, a scourge in ancient Israel, and a scourge in our day. They tell us we're basically good. If we try hard, God will grade us on the curve. Jeremiah says otherwise, pointing to the deceit within each of us. Today, more characteristics of false prophets. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the church in Babylon. Now, Erwin Lutzer takes us to Jeremiah 5 for more about recognizing false prophets.
And folks, today, human nature is basically sinful. Now, there's a good part to us, too. We can both do good and evil. You know what Jeremiah says about human nature in chapter 17? He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the very next verse is, I, the Lord, try the heart. Do you realize that as you are listening to this message today, that God knows exactly what your thoughts are? He knows exactly what your thoughts were last week, what you thought of this morning. God knows the human heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves, because there are things about us that we don't want to admit. God knows them. Pascal, the great French philosopher and mathematician, had some wonderful things to say about human nature. By wonderful, I mean very accurate. He says that man retains an image of God, but he is plunged into the misery of his blindness and lust, which is his nature. So there's a part of man that can do good. One day I was watching television and seeing the news, and here was a story about a woman who went about with an SUV full of groceries helping the poor. And the very next story was a terrible story of a woman who had been brutally assaulted. And I thought, what a contrast. Yes, we retain the image of God, and therefore we can do good, but there's also that part of us that is sinful and that God knows about. And false prophets come along and tell us that we're really wonderful people, and all that we need to do is to try harder, and surely God is going to accept us. That's false prophets. So that's the second thing. They exaggerate human ability. Let me give you a third characteristic, and that is that they have various sources for their knowledge. Now, actually, I'm in the 14th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, where God says this about false prophets. And the reason that I'm asking you to turn to different passages is really because the fact that all throughout Jeremiah you have references to false prophets. In fact, chapter 23 almost exclusively is devoted to false prophets. Maybe we'll have time to read a little bit of that as well. But this is what it says in chapter 14, verse 13. Then I said, O Lord, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them to speak. They are prophesying to you. And now here are three different sources of their prophecies. First of all, a lying vision. You often see this on television, don't you? The most bizarre thing can be attributed to God, and if you question it, somehow you are questioning either the Lord's anointed or you are questioning this prophet of the Lord in a way that is going to be detrimental to you. Years ago, I watched some of these false prophets because I wrote about them. One false prophet said, speak to your wallet and tell it to be full of money. I mean, really? This is incredible. Another false prophet on one occasion said, oh, I'm just having a revelation. There are actually 9 members in the Trinity. Wow. And everybody, really? During Luther's time, there were false prophets also in northern Germany, and there were those who were having these special revelations, you know, all about God and all about these things, and, you know, in the New Testament and so forth, the Holy Spirit is represented as a dove. So Luther sarcastically said, "I will not accept their prophecies, even if they have swallowed the Holy Ghost, feathers and all," he said. So God says that one source is lying visions. Notice the second is worthless divination. That actually is occultic. Yes, it is true that one of Satan's most dazzling deceptions is to have people speak and they think that they are in contact with the living God and they are actually in contact with demonic powers. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament says this very, very clearly. Listen to what he says there. In the book of 2 Corinthians, where he talks about false teachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. "And what I do, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission," notice that boasted mission, this will become important in a moment, "they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of darkness." No. "For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Wow. You see people on television today who say that they have the power to be able to touch people and they collapse. You know, to be slain in the spirit, that this man is so holy, he has so much power, that if you come under his spell, he'll give you some of his energy, some of his God-ordained energy, and he touches people and they collapse on the platform. Somebody who was a part of the movement did a study of all those who collapsed on the platform to see whether or not it gave them any spiritual power, and concluded that there was no measurable difference between them before and afterwards. They were still the same people dealing with the same sins, and yet the thought is that this man has so much spiritual power. I have to tell you, there's no doubt, and I don't want to name anybody, there's no doubt that I've watched television and I can see that there are some people, you can almost notice it in their eyes, that they are demonized people. But they use the name of Jesus all the time. And you say, well, how can that be? They're using the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul in this very same passage in 2 Corinthians says that they were preaching another Jesus. There are all kinds of Jesuses out there. There's the Santa Claus Jesus. There's the Mormon Jesus. There's the God of your fantasies, Jesus. And so they proclaim Christ, but not the Christ who was crucified for our sins. Not that Jesus, it's a different Jesus. And we don't know exactly what Jesus they were presenting there in 2 Corinthians, but notice this, the Apostle Paul believed that it was so much like the real Jesus that he feared that the church in Corinth could not tell the difference. And we're living at a time when there are so many Jesuses out there. And unfortunately, many Christians cannot tell the difference. It's heartbreaking. Jeremiah says that that's another means is worthless divination. And then he says, the deceit of their own minds. I'm still there in chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. The deceit of their own minds. Basically, what false prophets do is they look at their desires. And after they look at their desires, what do? They fashion God after those desires. I wish we had time to look at this in more detail, but you know that in the New Testament, in 2 Peter as well as Jude, there's a reference there to false prophets who follow their own desires. And so they look within and they say, I want to do this, that, or the other thing. And so God comes along and becomes to them everything that they want. And as a result of that, they are led into great sin. You know, the Bible is very clear. The God says, I am that I am, the Lord says. and not who you want me to be. So that's another way in which false prophets get their particular wisdom, supposedly, made up in their own minds. There's a fourth characteristic, and that is they hide their true motives. They hide their true motives. Now, the scripture is very clear about this. In the New Testament, this is the expression that is used for false prophets. It says they are trained in greed. Trained in greed. My heart just absolutely breaks when I get to this. Because what you see false prophets do is they are making money. They encourage you to send money to them, and this money is supposed to become seed money that'll garner you a big harvest. You know, this past week, I was thinking about one false prophet who's on television regularly, who encourages people to send $1,000 to him. Now, he never tells you how he's going to use $1,000. So I saw on the internet that there was a man there who was looking at some papers to verify the fact that this man was worth about $14 million. Money that had been sent in. And if you ever see him on TV, he is powerful. He is even scriptural sometimes. And he will tell you that if you send me money, God is going to use this as a seed, and you are going to get a great harvest, and you are going to be wealthy and be able to pay your bills. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Obviously, that kind of fundraising is unbiblical. Could I also say that it's almost certainly demonic? When the Bible speaks about false prophets, it always relates to money, doesn't it? You can read the book of Jude in the New Testament or 2 Peter. The hidden motives of greed. Now, I need to say that there's nothing wrong with fundraising if it is used for the right purposes and if no extravagant, unbiblical promises are made. For example, we in our ministry, we have to do fundraising, but we don't promise the people that if they send money to Running to Win, somehow they are going to be blessed in terms of financial remuneration and that suddenly they're going to have their mortgages paid. We do believe that God loves cheerful givers. We also believe, scripturally, that there is a reward, but it may be a reward of righteousness, a reward that will be waiting for people in heaven. I thought I'd take the time today to clarify that. But I believe so strongly, with tears in my eyes, that many Christians are being deceived today by false prophets who not only talk about money, but who don't talk about the gospel, or they speak about another Jesus. So accept it from my heart to yours. And in a moment, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Recognizing False Prophets, the third message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, where false prophets get their false message. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.